I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Job, if you would, please. Of course, we don't want you to talk. Let's not interrupt. Let's concentrate on the scripture. Job chapter number 29. Job chapter 29. Job chapter number 29. Once you find it, we're going to find verse number 1. I'm going to refer to many verses tonight during the sermon, but we're going to get started here in Job chapter 29, starting with verse 1. I would ask that you stand with me. Of course, we do this out of reverence to the Word of God. We do this so that God sees that we respect His Word. Job chapter 29, and I want you to look at verse number 1. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle.'" I want to talk to you tonight about this. I don't know that the title's a good one, but I know that the text and the scripture's good. I know this. Here's what I'm going to call the sermon tonight. Something has changed about Job, or something has changed on Job. You'll understand the sermon as it unfolds this evening. I often say, let's pray. Let me explain something right before we pray for a message. I'm going to pray and I'm going to talk to God. Now, we're not all going to pray out loud because that would be a bit confusing, and God's not the author of confusion. But I'll pray out loud. We'll all bow our heads and close our eyes. Don't make the mistake of listening to me pray. Oh, I think you should listen to me pray, but in your heart, you ought to be agreeing and praying also. If you say, well, I don't usually do that. Well, just think what would happen if there wasn't just one person praying and asking God to bless the service, but there are 150 saying, oh, God, speak to our hearts tonight. And let's pray. Father, we love You. And Father, we're opening the book that You wrote tonight. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and help us to be challenged and changed. Help us to be better because of what we hear from Your blessed book tonight. Spirit of God, control this place. Help there not to be interruptions. And if there are, may those interruptions be minute and limited. I pray, God, that You'll help us tonight. Strengthen my mind as I preach. Strengthen our ears as we listen. And might we glorify You in our behavior in the next 45 minutes, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Let me tell you about what's happening here. Job makes a statement in verse 2. He said, "Oh, that I were as in months past." Job's in a difficult situation. Many of you know the story of Job. Job had 10 children, and they were all killed in a calamity. He lost every dime, basically, of a fortune, and some would have believed he was probably the wealthiest man in the East, if not one of the wealthiest men in the world, and he lost it all in a calamity, in a misfortune. He had thousands of camels and donkeys and sheep and cattle, and he lost them, lost his business, if you will. He went from being the richest man in the East to the poorest man, and he was in ruin, and he lost it all. He lost his health, probably to a disease like leprosy or elephantiasis, a form of leprosy. His wife had suggested at one point it had gotten so bad for him that his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" His friends had forsaken him, and he's in a lot of pain. We find Job, he is sitting in some coals from a fire. He's out at the garbage dump, actually sitting there. He's got this disease, and it itched, and he has taken an old piece of pottery that was broken. He's scraping his body to get relief. He's sitting in the ashes. You say, what from? The heat and the burn was better than the pain that his body was facing. You have to understand, his social standing is somewhat gone. Everything that he had was gone. Job was a judge in the land. You say, what does that mean? Well, it's like he had been trained to be an attorney. Now, here you have a guy that kind of had it all and was great social standing, and he's down at the dump. He's sitting in ashes. His body's covered with blisters and sores. He's scraping his body as he is going through this tragic thing. He's remembering his old life. And he's got some depressing remembrances. He remembers some things that happened, and they're hard on him. He said in Job 29:2, he said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." He's remembering back. He said, "I remember back." Then in Job 29, verse 3, he said, "When his candle shined upon my head." Now, people in that land would have compared God's blessings to light or to a candle. He's remembering back. And in verse number 6, he said, "When I washed my steps with butter." You say, what does that mean? Butter, of course, is made of fat. And fatness was a picture of prosperity in the Bible. And he's talking about everywhere I walked, it was prosperous. And I had the light of God on my life. In verse number 7, he said, "When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street." He's referencing now his position as a judge. The gate was a place where people met, and he was respected in the gate. And then in verse 8, 9, and 10, he says, "The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth." And what he's saying here, he's describing the respect that people gave him. Now remember, he's sitting in the ash heap, and he is scraping his body that's covered with a type of leprosy. And he said, "I can remember how it used to be." And he's talking about his prosperity. He's talking about how God had shined on him. He's talking about he was prominent in the community. He's saying everybody, the children kind of shied away from me because I was a man of power. And everybody, they all respected me. And when I walked in, people stood. But the problem is Job's attitude has become backslidden. And he says this, he says, "Oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me." I want you to understand something. Every word in the Bible is there for a reason. That's why people ought not be tampering with the Bible and changing words. He said, "Oh, that I were." Oh, that I were. Something about Job changed. Job realizes there's something wrong with Job. Job said, "As I was in the days of my youth." That is what he said in verse number 4. In verse number 5 of Job 29, he said, "When the Almighty was with me." Huh. If I said, "I remember back when God was with me. I remember back how it used to be with me." I think I'd be catching on. Something's wrong here. Job said, I wish it was like it used to be. Which means it's not that way anymore. He realizes, and he is realizing, that he has gotten away from God. I think he's realizing he has lost God's special presence. And in chapter 29, he's remembering his old relationship with God, and he's in some remorse of the memory of some spiritual good times. I'd like to help you trace that a little bit tonight. I'd like to help you see what Job did to get himself to the point where he's saying, "Boy, I wish I was spiritually what I used to be." Pride had entered his life. And I don't think Job seen it. You know, folks, when we're being sinfully proud, we don't usually recognize it. Most people do not mentally say, "I think I'll be proud." No, we act proud, and hopefully we notice it or it gets pointed out to us, but we don't usually notice it. Matter of fact, listen to this. Listen to what Job said, and you'll see the pride in it. He said, "I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me." Notice those words, I, me. Huh, there was somebody in Isaiah chapter 14 that said, "I will put my throne above God's. I will ascend above the hills of God." You know who that was? That was Lucifer. Boy, anytime you start saying, "I, me, my, it's all about me," get ready. Something's going wrong here. Somebody's off track. And Job actually made this statement. He said, "I am clean without transgression." Now, Job, had you said, "I'm kind of clean," he said, "I'm clean without transgression." Uh-oh, Job. He said, "I'm innocent." Job, if you would have said, "I'm innocent a lot, but I'm just flat out innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me." Uh-oh, Job. Folks, just so you understand, You're never going to be perfectly clean. There's never going to be a time when there's no type of transgression. And you will be guilty of iniquities. But Job, I think, and I'll tell you what happened to Job. Job went through a great trial. He came through it. God seen him through it. And then he gets a little arrogant on the other side of that trial. And Job said, well, look at me. Look at what I went through. Look what I survived. Me. Look at me. Look at my. Look at I. But I want to show you something. And in this thing of Job looking back and making that statement, oh, that I were as in months past, I want to show you what caused Job to be sitting in that ash heap, backslidden now. What caused him to get in that condition? And if you'll listen, I'll show you something very practical from the Scripture. First of all, Job, in this backsliding that he was guilty of, Job became dependent on his situation more than he was dependent on his walk with God. He had become dependent on his situation more than he was dependent on his walk with God. Let me explain that. Those of you that are members of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, listen to me very carefully. I think when it came to church, I'm going to guess back when Job was looking back and said, I wish it were like it used to be. I think Job probably had it made when it come to church. He had his probably had his children in church, his wife in church. He was in church. He had a good church. If we were using modern day terminology, Job was in an old fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church, and they were seeing people saved every week, and it was a great church, and it was a church of revival. And folks, let me explain something to you. When you say, Pastor, what's different about our church? This is a revival church. We want revival. We're not just meeting to get the responsibility off our plate because God said to go to church. We don't come here because we have to. We come here because we get to. And we're interested in seeing people get saved. We're interested in reaching our world for Jesus Christ. I couldn't tell you how many churches they showed up this morning. They just wanted to get it over with so they could go home and live in the world. We don't believe that way. We believe in revival. Now, I think Job would have been a part of a revivalistic type of a church. I believe that it was a church that would have had God's power on it. And folks, when you see God's power move in our midst, you better take note of it. Not all churches get to see that happen. Not all churches get to see people walk the aisle and get saved and watch God reach down and do something supernatural. But I believe that if you knew Job's history, you'd say, that's probably the kind of place that Job went. That's probably what Job, that was a setting that Job had. Well, you've heard some powerful, we've had three specials today, and they were all powerful gospel music. I believe Job, when they would have gathered for church, there was good music. And I believe that at his church and in it, the spiritual atmosphere, there was good leadership and good activities. And Job had a lot of good things. But folks, listen, do you know the better your situation, the easier it is for you to depend on that situation rather than depending on your personal walk with God. And I really believe that Job had a great situation, so he started letting his guard down about his personal walk with God. And folks, there's no activity that can take the place of the activity of you reading your Bible. And there's no person singing to you that can take the place of the importance of you having a prayer life. And boy, I like the songs and I like the activities. And thank God, Brother Ellswick, for the activities for the teenagers. But I'm going to tell you something, teenagers. You having someone provide you spiritual activity will never take the place of you meeting with God and you having a walk with God. This church is a great church, and I think our ministry is a great ministry. But it will not and it cannot take the place of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Hey, teenager, listen. Some of you, that's where it's at. We've got a great Sunday school program for you, and we have a teen choir, and we've got teen singing groups, and you're a part of it. And we've got Youth Ablaze, where, boy, you can meet up there, and you can play some ping pong and some foosball and shoot some basketball and have some popcorn and have a snow cone, and you can have a good time and sing and have a lot of wonderful things, and I'm for that. Boy, you've got a youth department where you've got teen soul winning, and you've got a youth department where you've got a teen bus route and clean activities. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, you'll become dependent on those activities and you'll cease to personally be spiritual. You'll want the program to carry you spiritually. The program's not there to carry you spiritually. It's there to supplement your personal walk with God. What we provide for you cannot take the place of you reading your Bible and you praying. There's some of you, you come to the church, and boy, we've got all these wonderful things, and you say, wow, there's things going on, and we can get in that choir, and we can do this, and we can do that. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're doing all those things, and you're very involved, but you don't walk with God, and you don't read your Bible, and you don't pray, you have become dependent on the system when you're supposed to be dependent on the God of the system. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Hey, bus captain. Hey, bus worker. Could be the same for you. You're in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You're expected to go soul winning. You're expected. You'll be in that Sunday school teacher's meeting, and you'll be out visiting your class. And you're so busy, you don't really have time to go get drunk or anything. But folks, let me tell you something. Busyness does not make you spiritual. You taking time to get on your knees will make you spiritual. You're taking time to get in your Bible will make you spiritual. And some of you, you are only surviving because of the system, but you won't survive forever that way. The only spirituality some of you are experiencing is what everybody else is providing. That's not adequate. You need a personal walk with God. You need to read your Bible daily. You need to pray. You need to go soul winning. Our church will never rise above our personal relationships with God. Some of you have been trained. You've had some Bible college training. Let me tell you something. No amount of Bible college training can replace a personal walk with God. No work for God can replace the importance of your personal relationship with Him. You say, but Pastor, I'm busy. I work on the grounds, and I work on the custodial crew, and I work here, and I work there, and I've got a class, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got this, and I've got that. Let me ask you this. Do you have God? Tell me everything you're doing. And I'm glad. Thank you for your hard work. But I'd like to help you sustain that involvement. That involvement does not make you spiritual. What will make you spiritual is walking with your God, reading your Bible, and praying, and having a personal connection with God. For some of you, the only prayers you ever see answered are prayers by other people. The greater the church, the greater the possibility of you letting the situation, the program, replace your personal relationship with God. Be careful. I think that's what happened to Job. I think Job had a fantastic situation. But before long, you find Job is backslidden. And he's saying, I wish it were like it used to be. What happened? Job, you had everything you needed, but you became dependent on what you had instead of stayed dependent on He who gave it to you. A great church. Listen, folks. I think we have a great church. But you get this. You having a great church does not make you a great Christian. You get that? Well, you ought to come out to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. It is something. Is it something because of your personal closeness to God? Or are you just a fan? A spectator. You come to see it happen. Now, you ought to be a part of it. The people who don't make it, it is not because of the program. It's because of your lack of a personal walk with God. Did you know that you being in a soul-winning church does not make you a soul winner? Something you're responsible for personally. You say, I'm glad we have a strong, fundamental Baptist pastor. Did you know that just because you have a strong, fundamental Baptist pastor does not make you a strong, fundamental Baptist? There are people sitting in here tonight. I wouldn't consider you a strong, fundamental Baptist. You come to a church that takes that stand. Your pastor takes that stand. There are other people in the church that are that, but you're not. Just because you come to a fundamental Baptist church, that didn't make you a fundamental Baptist. It's what you are. Not the fact that you drop in and visit. Everybody okay? What happened? Job had so much going for him. It's obvious Job became dependent on his program. Job became dependent on what he had instead of being dependent on the God that provided it. And never get your eyes off of God. God is what it's all about. Second observation, Job began to look to men, and he stopped looking to God. Let me prove it to you. In Job 13:2, Job said this, "What you know that the same do I know also, I am not inferior unto you." Job is now, he's making a statement. He looked at somebody else, he said, "Hey, let me tell you something. I'm as good as you are." That's what he said. "I'm not inferior to you." Hey, Job began comparing himself to other men. You want to know how Job went from this fantastic revival situation to being in the ash heap, scraping his body, saying, I wish it were like it used to be." He was remembering back. Well, what caused this downfall? Well, he's more dependent on the program than his walk with God. And then we find out Job starts comparing himself to other men. Now, folks, do you realize you're not supposed to compare yourself to other people in the church? There's not supposed to be a comparison. Do you realize that you could be the best Christian in this auditorium today and you could still be backslidden? I believe Job was the best Christian on earth, and yet he was away from God. And yet he was not what Job should have been. He had fallen short of his own past relationship with God. Hey, are you the best Christian in this church and yet you have seen better spiritual days? You know, you can backslide and still be better than the folks around you, because they've never had, at the height of their Christianity, the walk with God that you have fallen to. Your low is higher than their high. You're better than them, but you're worse than your past self. Job began to compare himself to the people around him, and Job said, "You know what, I'm better than you guys." But God said, "Job, you're not better than the Job I knew at your peak." So what happened? Job starts comparing himself to the people around him. You say, "I'll tell you what, Pastor, this church really needs me. I'm a real good Christian." Well, I'm glad for you, and I'm glad you feel that way, but I'd be a little careful with your arrogance. But there's one thing I ought to tell you. Are you the best Christian you've ever been? If not, you're backslidden. You're backslidden. Job made the mistake of using others on earth as his spiritual measuring stick. Hey, he should have compared himself to God. That means there was plenty of space for growth. I'm not asking to you today if you're the best Sunday school teacher in our Sunday school ministry. Hey, Sunday school teacher, are you best Sunday school teacher you've ever been? I'm not asking you if you're the best soul winner in our church. Are you the best soul winner you've ever been? I'm not asking you if you're the best bus captain. Are you the best bus captain you have ever been? I'm not asking if you're the best husband or the best wife in our church. Are you the best you've ever been? You see, that's the issue. God wants you to grow. God, remember, the first point, Job lost his personal closeness to God. And God wants to be close to you. And God wants you to stop comparing you to other people. And you compare the you of today to the you of last week or last month or last year. And there are people in this room, you're backslidden. You think you're a good Christian. You know the Bible and you've been around. And the only thing you can tell me is what you used to do. God wants to know, what are you doing right now? You say, "Well, I'm a pretty mature Christian compared to everybody else." So what? How mature are you compared to what you used to be for God? That's your big issue. And Job finds himself saying, "Hey, I'm as good as the rest of you." The only thing is, Job, you're not as good as the old you. You're not living up to your potential. Folks, let me tell you something. It'd be very dangerous for you to look and say, "Pastor, boy, I'm a better Christian than you." You have not picked a very good example. You might want to look at Jesus. You compare yourself to me, you're going to shortchange your own potential. You're not going to be everything you ought to be. Are you the best Christian you've ever been? At work, are you the best worker at work? But wait a minute. do you work at work better than you've ever worked before? Because that's the real issue. Get this. Job was the best Christian in the world, yet Job was backslidden. Folks, your spiritual position among others does not make you right with God. It's your personal relationship with God and where you're at compared to where you have been. So, what caused Job? He was looking back, and Job is saying, I wish it were like it used to be. Now, what got him in this mess? Well, first of all, he became dependent on the program instead of keeping his personal walk with God strong. Then Job started looking at men and comparing himself to others instead of looking on the inside to figure out, is he praying like he ought to? Is he reading his Bible like he ought to? But he wanted to compare to everybody else. He says, as long as I'm as good as everybody else, I'm fine. That's not true. That's not true. Thirdly, I see that Job's backslidden condition had blinded him to the point that he thought that it was everybody else's problem. It's not me, it's everybody else. Job says in Job 32:1, he says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. What happened is that Job gets this idea, I'm fine, the problem is these other people. I'm fine, it's these other people. Which is often the case with a backslider. I've dealt with people and backsliding for years. I've seen people backslide in a variety of ways. They backslide in their relationships. They backslide in the area of lust. They backslide with sexual sin or the wrong crowd or unfaithfulness to church. They backslide with their music and stealing the tithe or their service to God. I've watched them backslide in many, many different ways. I have to tell you, one of the things that's so common among people that backslide, they can figure out a way to make it somebody else's fault. Backslidden people have a broken spiritual thermometer. Backslidden people's their self-perception is tainted, and they've been deceived. Their self-perception is a bit deceptive. Backsliders, when they go getting away from God, they can figure out a way. They play the blame game. I'm not what I used to be, and it's the church's fault. Could it be your fault? Well, I'm not what I used to be, but it's the preacher's fault. Could it be your fault? I'm not what I used to be, it's the congregation's fault. But it couldn't be your fault. I'm not what I used to be, but it was my husband's fault, or it's my wife's fault. I'm not what I used to be, but how many excuses can we come up with? Job said, oh, that I were as in months past. I'm really glad that Job realized Job's walk with God had failed. Job had started to compare himself to other people. Job says, I've got a problem here that I need to get fixed. I got to thinking about this. You know, when we get backslidden, you have to understand something. It messes up your spiritual vision. You don't see right when you're getting backslidden. When you're stepping away from God, you're messing up your spiritual view of things. Y'all know what a possum is? Possums hang upside down in a tree from their tail. Some of you are possum Christians. You know, if you're hanging upside down from a tree, and you're hanging from your tail, you know, you're all upside down. But the possum might think everybody else is the one that's goofed up. When you're hanging there, he's looking out saying, what in the world wrong with all of you? Backslidden people become like the possum. Could I suggest something? Could I suggest that you keep your eyes on the Lord? Could I suggest that you stay close to God? Backslidden people, I find it rare that they say, I'm backslidden, and it's my fault. I did it. I'm to blame. No, it's always, well, if the preacher wouldn't have this, or if my husband wouldn't have that, and if my wife wouldn't have done that, and if this person wouldn't have done this, and the church wouldn't have done that, and they wouldn't have done this, everybody wants to figure out somebody to blame that they're not right with God. They play the blame game. Say, well, you know what? If it were not for that hypocrite down at the church, you know you got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one? If it weren't for those bad Christians, I'd be a good Christian. You're lying to yourself. It might be good for you to get out of the tree, tuck your tail back into your skirt or your pants, stop hanging upside down, looking at everybody else saying, "What's wrong with all of you? Look at the mess I'm in because of everybody else." Let me tell you something, folks. If I get in a mess, it's because of me. And if you get in a mess, it's because of you. Because you have access to the great God of the universe, direct access. You don't have to compare yourself to everybody else. You can be close to God, but don't play the blame game. The possum sees things from his position, which is not a real good position to be in. There's somebody in here right now. I don't know who you are. You are upside down in your Christianity. You're just upside down. You're looking around saying, "What's wrong with all these people? What's wrong? What's wrong with the pastor? What's wrong with the church? What's wrong with you?" Flip around here. Get a revival. Get yourself headed right in the back in the right direction. You might stop blaming everybody else for you. I noticed something. Number four, Job had been a man of forward momentum in his life. Suddenly, he comes to a screeching halt. He's sitting in the dump in an ash heap, looking back saying, "Wish it were like it used to be." What had happened? Job had stopped going forward. He is now going backward. He had lost his momentum. Have you ever seen a football team that's got momentum? I don't know how many of you know what that means when you're playing football, but you get the ball, man, the quarterback wants to call the play. They want the center to snap that ball to the quarterback. They want to whirl that ball out there, run that ball, get as many yards as they can. They want to huddle up. They want to get going again. Why? They got momentum. The defense have been bounced around, and the defense is not sure what's going on, and the offense says, "Push it at them, push it at them, push it at them. Keep them off guard. Don't let them catch up to us." And they just push, and they push, and they push until they get the touchdown. Y'all, any football fans here, you know what momentum is? Momentum's important in a lot of things. Job, if you know his story, he was a man of momentum. This guy was on a roll. You look at everything that was going on for Job. Job had it going on. But Job had lost his momentum. You know, churches have momentum. I believe Twin Rivers Baptist Church has had momentum now for years. There's some churches that will get momentum for 3 or 4 weeks. But you keep that momentum going. Boy, that quarterback, he's got to keep going. Snap that ball. Make this happen. Snap that ball. Make this happen. Snap that ball. Make this happen. Push forward. Push forward. Push forward. Hey, you get up in the defense's face. Make something happen. Get on the devil's territory. Some churches can never get momentum. I love momentum. I love it. It's like a skier. You're on top of that wave. You don't want to fall off. Skier? Oh, surfboard. So, sorry, folks, I don't go to the beach. You do, but I don't go. That momentum's important. Folks, so you all know, Christians have momentum. You got any momentum going in your Christian life right now? Pushing forward and saying, "I want to keep going forward. I want to keep conquering. I want to keep growing. I want to keep serving God. I want to keep going." Or have you already fallen off the wave and you're mad at the wave? You're mad at everybody else. These are all surfing fanatics that want to get up on that wave and keep on going. You know what, Brother Dingus? I got called to preach when I was 16. I learned what momentum was. I've been trying to ride that wave for a long time. I'm thrilled with momentum. I want momentum. I want momentum for my church. I want it for my marriage. I want it for the Lord. I want it for me. Now, folks, you have momentum. Job lost his momentum. He had been the most successful Christian on the face of the earth. Now he's a do-nothing, sit and watch, scrape his sores, saying, "Remember how it used to be? Remember how it used to be? Remember how it used to be?" God didn't give you a memory so you could bask in it thinking that you're still involved. God gave you a memory to convict you, to tell you to get up and go make something happen. There are people in here, you lost your momentum. You used to go soul winning. You used to have a bus route. You used to have a Sunday school class. You used to get involved. You used to do things for God. You don't anymore. You sit there and just gripe. Job lost his momentum. Job quit moving. Job quit going forward. Job quit being a Sunday school teacher. Job quit his bus route. Job quit the choir. Job, as a teenager, quit the teen choir. Job quit his soul winning. Job quit the nursery. I don't blame him. Now he's sitting in an ash heap in the dump, remembering how it used to be, mourning it. Job said, I've seen better days. Job remembers how it used to be, but has forgotten how involved he used to be. Job was an all-star quarterback that had benched himself. Now he's sitting on the bench as a bench warmer, criticizing his teammates for trying to get a touchdown. Job had lost his momentum. When I seen that Job made that statement, oh, that it were as in months past, and the days when God preserved me, Job, he's sitting there looking back saying, what's happened? Something changed up here. I'll tell you what changed up. Job had a wonderful situation, but he became dependent on the situation and lost his walk with God. Job began comparing himself to others instead of Job keeping an eye on Job's own personal spirituality. Job had then gotten backslidden to the point where, hey, there's got to be something wrong with these other people. There's got to be something wrong. Hey, there's some of you, I've been the pastor here for almost 4 years. There's got to be something wrong with this new preacher. There's got to be something wrong with the church. There's got to be something wrong with the youth department. There's got to be something wrong with the bus ministry. Well, what's going on here? What's up here? Well, maybe it's you. But Job, he began to blame the people around him. He began to blame the situation around him. But we already know he had already lost his walk with God. So now he's not seeing right. Remember, he's the possum hanging upside down in the tree saying, you bunch of crazy people, would you get it together? You're whacked out. Job's ceased to have momentum forward and now he's going backward. Folks, let me encourage you. I'm going to close out the sermon here in just a moment. Don't let that fool you. A moment to me is not probably a moment to you. I believe that there is revival available in this day and age. I go to churches all over the place and throw a fit about it. Because everybody wants to get sucked up in this trash of believing that it's not the day of revival. It's the day of revival for churches and people that are willing to be used of God and live right and do what the Bible says. It's still available, but we're going to have to work at it. It won't come easy. We took our young people and we went and preached a couple of hours away from here this last week. They went and a bunch of them went with us and they sang and we preached. I really have to tell you, we were leaving the last night of the revival and there are churches and people come up and say, this was great. This was great. Oh, this is so refreshing. We're going to come visit your church. We like this. This was good. You know what they were saying? We're just starved. We're just starved to the thought that God's alive and God's well. And it's still possible. And it is. It is. But folks, it will come as a result of your personal walk with God. And it'll come when you and I don't spend our time comparing ourselves to each other. But we decide we're going to be the best that we can be. And we can't blame everybody else for our spiritual condition. But we'll have to take that responsibility. We've got to keep moving forward and not let ourselves go backward. Now, let me tell you. Let me tell you what God says to Job about this. God tries to get Job's attention. You think sometimes I'm straightforward and say things you think, ooh, boy, I bet that hurt somebody's feelings. You ought to hear what God says sometimes. Look, God says in Job 38, verse number 3, to Job, he says, gird up now thy loins like a man. You know what he said? Pull your pants up like a man. Take your dress off, Job. By the way, the girding up of the loins is a masculine thing. Very interesting. God said, Job, everybody else isn't the problem. Job, it's you. And I'm really glad about something. Job says in verse number 6 of chapter 42, he says, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent." Job said, "You know what, God, you got me. It's me. It's me. I let me down. It's not my husband's fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not the program's fault. It's me. I stopped going soul winning. I keep myself as uninvolved as I possibly can. It's me. I don't walk with God. I wonder how much time you truly spend in your Bible. I know you carry it around. How much time do you spend in prayer? Job, God said, "Put your big boy pants on, Job. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." That's what God said to him. God said, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." God said, "Listen to me, buddy. You're a big nothing, and I am God, and you need to stop blaming everybody else and put on your big boy pants and take responsibility that you are your problem, not everybody else." You say, "But Pastor, it's the day and age in which we live." It's a pretty rough day in Noah's day. God drowned everybody. There were some pretty rough times in the Bible. As you drive the two or three cars that you have, and you have so many clothes you don't know what to do with them all, and you throw more of food away than some people in other countries get to eat as you're going through these tough days. You heard the song, "It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord." You know, I think Job put on his big boy pants and said, "I need to shake myself." And I see that the way the story goes, God gave him another chance and God started using Job again. But picture it. We start out and Job said, "I remember how it used to be. I wish it were like it used to be." Well, if I could figure out how Job ended up in that ash heap in the dump, scraping his body with such a depressed attitude, it might help me. Job became more dependent on the program than his personal walk with God. Job began comparing himself to others instead of making sure that he was the best Christian he had ever been. Job realized that he need not be blaming everybody else, but look internally instead of looking around himself. And then he said, "You know what? I'm no longer going forward." Once Job began to realize that, God was able to say, "Grow up, Job. Take personal responsibility. Get yourself right with God." Hey, I love the fact that Job came to his senses. Do you need to come to your spiritual senses tonight? If so, let the sermon tug at your heart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, Job, he said, I remember how it used to be. I remember what it used to be. I'm glad Job realized it wasn't God that had let him down. It wasn't the church that let him down. It wasn't the program that let him down. It was Job that let Job down. Somebody here tonight, your walk with God, you're not at the peak of your walk with God. Your Bible time's not that way. Your prayer time's not that way. Your interest in the things of God's not that way. And there's some of you, to be honest, you're very, very busy around the church, but you're not busy with your personal relationship with God, which is a very dangerous thing. You need time with the one you're serving. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I have been challenged. God has spoken to me tonight in this sermon." Would you let God see your hand? You may put your hand down. Whatever you do, don't take the attitude, "Well, I've paid my dues." You've never paid your dues and you never will pay your dues. You might not be willing to give God any more of you, but you ought to be willing. If you need the altar, the altar will be open. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Have you become dependent on our program and ceased to walk with God personally? That's a dangerous thing to do. Are you looking around and saying, well, you know what? I do more than him, or I do more than her, or I'm more spiritual than him, or I'm more spiritual than her. But wait a minute. Are you to be comparing yourself to the people around you, or are you to be comparing yourself to Jesus or to God? Sure, if you look to Jesus, you'll know you've got a long way to go. Are you in a bad spiritual condition? But it's got to be Pastor Owens' fault. It's got to be Brother Ellswick, the youth director's fault. It's a fault of the church. It's a fault of the music program. It's a fault of the youth department. That won't hold water. God's going to hold you personally responsible. Climb out of the tree, possum. Get your feet on level ground. Start seeing things realistically. You used to have momentum. This may be the biggest point in my thinking. You used to have so much momentum. You were serving God and moving forward and accomplishing. Some of you sat still. Some of you going backwards. God just says to Job, put on your big boy pants, take responsibility, and get yourself straight down. Job said, it's me. I abhor myself. He didn't abhor the church. He didn't abhor the pastor. He didn't abhor the Sunday school teacher or Ilphaz or Bildad or Zophar, his friends. He said, I need to get on me. I let me down. And God is always one that will honor a broken, humble, and contrite heart. He said in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. In other words, if you will humble your heart and say, God, look, I've gotten away from you. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I used to be. God will honor that and help you to get back on track. Through the song, we're going to pray, and then we'll be on our way. Thank you, Rachel. Well, let's go out and show a lost and dying world what real old-time Christianity and religion is all about. Let's get out there and tell people about Jesus. Let's live right. Let's act right. And folks, do yourself a favor. Get close to God. I think many of you are, but get closer. You can never get too close to Jesus. Best decision you'll ever make is to increase your personal relationship and your personal walk with God.